This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work, work. I'm Lou.
And I'm Loz. There are so many good news stories today. I actually want to start our good news story with our own event happening this Thursday, which is a little spook for ourselves. But if you are Melbourne-based and you want to hear about all things career, motherhood, starting your own business, styling yourself, looking suave for work, we have the event for you. So this Thursday, Melburnians, we're hosting an event at the Memo Boutique in Fitzroy from 6:30 till 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $30, but they are redeemable in-store on the night. So you get to have your own little private shopping experience without the crowds, without the kids. You can just peruse. There are drinks, there are nibbles, and it's going to be excellent. Lou, you can probably talk to who's coming because they're A grade, I have to say.
I am so excited. So we have Ellen Hooper, who is sort of like your, I guess, HR expert. So she'll be the person that you might want to chat to more around that career counseling type stuff. Maybe it's confidence. Maybe it's how to approach a pay rise. Maybe it's tackling imposter syndrome when you're coming back to work. Next up, we have you, Fern, from Elan House of Wellness. She has a background in finance. She's a beautiful person. She's big in postpartum land, and she also can talk to the realities of having a small business. And then last but not least, we have Liv Brown from Rattle. She's a stylist for mums. She's so fun. She has such eclectic style, and you can chat to her about mum uniforms, work uniforms, finding creativity post-motherhood, how she found her niche. She felt quite lost in her career pre-motherhood, and now she's just on this thing and she is going at lightning speed the way she's gathering momentum and gathering this following and this business. It's incredible. So come hear from those three incredible women in a speed dating style session and come chat to your friends, Loz and I too. We'd love to see you on Thursday.
We're going to be there. The sparkling will be somewhat flowing and we are here for good convos, great networking and a chance to actually talk with women who are excelling, I would say.
Absolutely. I think even if you're pregnant, you'll find value in this. So please come
doesn't
along.
Matter if you're excelling. Exactly. Okay. After giving ourselves a spruik because it's a freaking good event, I also want to talk about some other good news from the Olympics. For those that know me, I am not a sports person, but there were so many good moments that I mainly watched on TikTok. So I will share a couple of my favorite. Number one, 14-year-old Arissa True winning the women's park skateboarding gold for Australia. Legend. Youngest female athlete competing for Australia.
I loved the post interview or the post event chat. She just was so cute and awesome. I loved her.
How good. Another Yayla Gul Ramazanova competing in archery at 6.5 months pregnant. Incredible. Incredible. I could barely walk on an incline at 6.5 months. So that's.
Yeah, I can't imagine my aim being very good. Unbelievable.
Me either. Another one of my favorites, athletes openly talking about mental health and self-image, with one of my favorite quotes coming from Ilona Mayer, women can be strong and they can have broad shoulders and they can take up space and they can be big. Don't let anybody try and define or dictate how you feel about yourself. You get to decide that.
That is brilliant. What a great way to start this episode.
I just want to top it off with one more, Lou. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Go for gold.
You don't even know what's on this run sheet. Australia won 18 gold medals, of which 13 were from women. Go the girls.
Invest in women's sport. Invest in women's sport. That's epic. And I love that this is coming from you because if anyone knows us well, it should be coming from me. Today, Lozzie, keeping on the theme of Olympics, mothers going for gold at the Paris Games and why Loz is loving Raygun's breakdancing performance. I want to be a breakdancer at the Olympics. I might try for 4 years' time. And an honest look at the first 3 months of motherhood. So Michelle Battersby has just ticked over the 3 month postpartum mark with her baby. She's the co-founder of Sunroom. She's been on the podcast. She's been very open about her motherhood and career journey and how the two intersect. And this has inspired not just us talking about a really honest look at the first 3 months of motherhood, but that's also inspired the poll today. Let's take it away, my friend.
Once motherhood spelled the end of a sporting career, but more mums than ever are taking part in this year's Olympics and Paralympics. The Village even has a nursery for the first time, which we touched on previously. There is an amazing article by Sarah Phillips doing the rounds at the moment about Team Great Britain mothers at the Paris Games. And it talks about the key things that I was dying to know. How do they do it?
Physically, how?
These are how. Time-wise, how? Like, how does it work, right? So as soon as I saw that headline, I had to read it.
You know what's incredible? It wouldn't have crossed my mind as a 20-year-old how someone would get back into sport after having a baby.
No.
And now I think that person deserves more than an Olympic medal. I don't know what that is, but I want them to get more.
Yes. Well, on that, this is what they had to say. And I just want to specify here. I know working and training for the Olympics is obviously very different, but I did want to, in a roundabout way, go through what these women said and put them into perspective for those of us who aren't world-class athletes, aka Lou, lol, jokes, me.
We're still world-class, just not athletes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So this is what they said. Birth can be tough on the body, and I wanted to make sure I had the stamina for it. So training while pregnant kept me grounded and gave me a goal. I tried to prepare for the birth as if it were a mini Olympics. And at the end of the day, I was definitely going to have my prize. Relatable. It is. Birth is hard.
Birth is hard. Birth is an Olympic sport. In fact, get it in 4 years' time, I want to see it. I want to see birth as an Olympic sport.
It is hard. And what are those stats around? They say it's equivalent to running a marathon, right?
When you're pregnant, it's something to do with the energy expenditure. It's similar to running a marathon, but for 9 months. It's wild.
Is it? Yeah. So I found that super relatable, particularly from an Olympian athlete that's saying she was training to build stamina for birth.
This actually ties really nicely into the poll today. I'm finding a lot of parallels already, but okay. Keep going. I won't all go right into it yet.
Yep. The next one, I particularly related to this. I don't feel the same me that I was before I had kids. The way my body looks and feels is completely different. It's like you go through a process of remolding and reshaping and turning into this brand new athlete. Okay, minus the athlete bit. It's like I hit the reset button and came back better than ever. I resonate with this. I feel that for you after giving birth, did you feel stronger longer term after your kids? Or did you feel your body worked more towards you? I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, I don't think I felt stronger, unfortunately, but I feel stronger in my self-esteem and in those types of things. So I totally agree that my body looks and feels completely different, but in a lot of ways at the moment, I feel weaker. However, I feel stronger in more emotional ways.
Okay. So yeah, I would agree with that. That's definitely true for me also. But I almost felt like after I had Zave, in particular, my second, not drawing a sand in the line between having a third and a second. I'm not quite there yet. But somehow I thought, okay, I have to accept this body now for what it is, because this could be my permanent body after birth. And I feel like, this sounds ridiculous, I feel like I'm really investing it and I'm owning it and being
I am
like,
investing in it more.
This is like a reborn body. This is what I've got now.
This is like the rebirth. You are going through a rebirth. I am investing more in getting strength. So I do agree with you in that regard. I think whenever I think of my body and strength, I think about how bad my back is, but that's not the full picture. So I do agree with you in a lot of ways that I'm investing more in my own strength and thinking about the body that I do have rather than the body that I did have, which seems to be what this athlete is sort of talking about, that she has had to work with the new her.
Yep. Another thing that they did, which is how they essentially made pregnancy or birth and training work, was so basic. And I loved this. They started a WhatsApp group. They said it is so helpful having somewhere that you can say, I'm trying this or this isn't working, because so much of motherhood is trial and error.
I am obsessed with that. Interestingly, I put a little meme that I created myself on the weekend saying it's funny
that we've always pooed
mum WhatsApp groups. And even I have in the past, I've totally been like, oh, boring chat. We've got better things to talk about. When these people really make the world go around, and how beautiful is it to see that they're figuring out together? Do you know what else it touches on? That parenting, the only way you learn it is by doing it. This is just another example of that.
Yep. last one. One of the main inspirations for coming back to compete was to rediscover the athlete that I was before she became a mother.
Beautiful.
Feel that. Love it. Which actually leads me to my next segue in a roundabout way. Rae Gunn, otherwise known as Rachel Gunn, the Australian breakdancer who became an internet meme immediately after her performance. I know you haven't watched a lot of the Olympics, Lou. We did speak about this, which is so unusual.
Weird. I love sport. What have I been doing?
Okay, but did you see the memes around this?
I haven't. I feel like I've had my head under a rock. One of my friends yesterday was saying she felt sorry for her and how much people were laughing at her, and I have not. That's the only thing I've seen.
Okay. So for those of you who haven't seen it, immediately head on to Instagram, TikTok, any reel. It's going to pop up in your feed as soon as you've listened to this episode because, you know, analytics, AI, they're smart. They'll get you. They'll track you down. But essentially, Rachel Gunn did a breakdancing routine, which was not the standard that you would expect. That's what I would say. However, I feel compelled to show my undying support of B-Girl Rae Gunn. And this is why. She is Australia's first ever Olympic breakdancing representative. We need to take our hats off for that. Anyone who can bring global visibility to dance floor classics, including the kangaroo hop, while rocking a 90s PE teacher outfit, which she did very well, deserves my full unabashed attention.
What am I missing out on? I have literally been living under a rock.
The confidence it would take to give things a crack in the face of taunts from keyboard warriors is a gold medal-worthy performance in and of itself.
And a lesson in imposter syndrome, mum's returning to work. Get in there and own it.
This is exactly why I love her so much. Rae Gunn herself told reporters, "I was never going to beat these girls on what they do best, the dynamic and the power moves. How many chances do you get in a lifetime to do that on an international stage?"
That's important.
Like, how often as women do we abide by these rules and norms of society to do things a certain way? She was on a global stage and decided to do things differently. Go her. I am proud. I am all about it. These memes, like, in one way, I think to myself, she's created this huge movement for a sport, essentially, that had no recognition. I haven't seen anybody else do that during the Olympics, except for the weird gymnastics on the back of a horse, which I'll also send you a meme for because that was excellent. And I think to myself, when you show up, you put your hand up. Like, I don't think many other people would have put their hands up. You take a risk and you're confident. That is a mantra I think that's worth applauding. Go, girl. I'm about it.
Oh, this has set up my Monday exactly how it needs to be. This will be live on a Tuesday. We're recording on a Monday, but this has set up my week. Go out there and embrace your creativity. Don't try and be the you that was working before motherhood. Embrace the new you. Embrace what makes you you. Don't think you're shit just because you have kids now. Get out there and get it. Michelle Battersby has been sharing a lot about parenting on her Instagram account. So she's got a pretty successful business. She brought Bumble to Australia. People follow her for her business acumen. But now she's becoming really honest about what motherhood is looking like for her. She lives in LA. She's done quite a bit of solo parenting, which she didn't talk about that much at the time, but is with hindsight. Her partner seems to be a rugby player or similar, and it's pretty successful from what I can see. I assume it's similar to AFL. I actually don't know. So should fact check that one. Haven't yet.
Another surprise.
Posey wakes up all the time.
Another surprise, Lou.
That I haven't fact checked.
Going on.
Yeah. I'm a bit unhinged. This. Yeah. It's all smoke and mirrors around here. I'm falling apart. Might talk about that next week. I think I want to talk about sleep. I'm ready to go there. I'm ready to give advice. Yeah, things are grim in this household at the moment. So let's talk about Michelle instead of myself. So Michelle Battersby said on Instagram under the title, "The First 3 Months of Motherhood." I'm not sure I'm meant to admit this, but here we go. Alfie is 13 weeks and I've only just started to feel real happiness and like I'm enjoying motherhood. I felt happiness, awe, and amazement for a really brief moment for about 4 days at the start that disappeared pretty quickly once I came home from hospital and the reality of parenting hit me. The reality of parenting hitting her, I can feel that. I remember getting home and going, holy fuck, this is for life and this is
a lot. It's permanent.
It was nothing to do with Alfie. It was all to do with me. I underestimated the weight a woman carries feeding a baby from her body, the 3-hour feeding cycle, the anxiety around your baby's weight gain, the identity crisis, realizing how hard it is to leave the house, not recognizing yourself in the mirror, et cetera, et cetera. She goes on in what is a really beautiful and vulnerable post that I will link in the show notes. And she touches on it at the start that we're always quite scared to be how honest about how brutal early motherhood can be. Because firstly, I think we worry that it doesn't paint the full picture, that we only focus on the negatives, or there can be and are so many positives. So we get scared a bit, I guess, about highlighting the negatives in a way that makes it look really grim. Also, which we've touched on a million times, you're worried about scaring people. You don't want to scare that pregnant person, that pregnant version of yourself that was already a little bit scared. But I want to go there. I want to be really honest, because as I've learned from the poll that I put up related to this, motherhood's brutal. It's great, but it is brutal. And if we don't talk about it, we alienate all these people into thinking that it can't be. So I want to know from you, what surprised you the most about the first 3 months of motherhood that you wish you knew now, or that you wish that version of you knew?
I mean, I was very similar to
Michelle.
No, I was very similar to Michelle. I didn't love the first 3 months. Like, newborn life is not for me. And I think this is the thing about motherhood, right? Different phases suit different people. And I don't know what my favorite stage of motherhood is going to look like. I have never been someone that considers myself overly maternal. I love interaction from others. So those first, I would almost say 6 months, I found pretty boring. Like, I didn't find them fulfilling. I wasn't like bursting with love. That came for me a little bit later. And I would almost say that, like, I am enjoying motherhood more now at 3.5 years with Sienna, she's nearly 4, than I ever have.
Yeah.
Because it feels like I have a friend and a little person and a little being. So I don't know that I was overly surprised by the first 12 weeks, but I think it took me back a bit when everybody's like, oh, you're just loving the newborn snuggles. I was like, no, not at all. Like, no, I'm not loving them. I'm literally walking for 6 to 8 hours a day, minimum, every day, trying to get my child to sleep. And I don't know how many more podcasts I can listen to or how many other songs I can listen to. Like, I'm going insane.
And you didn't have witching hour to listen to. You couldn't listen to yourself.
Honestly, at that time, I didn't even want to. God.
And I know we've spoken about your breastfeeding journey, but I don't think I've ever asked you specifically in your sort of most stressful or lowest moments, how did you feel? Describe that to us, because I cannot tell you how many people said that they wish they just prepared a little bit more, or at least knew what to expect and where to go to from there if they were struggling.
Great question. I was so focused on the birth and all the like beautiful baby things that breastfeeding honestly didn't even come into play. It wasn't even on my radar as a problem that I may have. I found it enormously challenging. And I would say at my worst, I felt pretty hopeless, I think would be the way that I would describe my headspace. I am someone who is a high achiever. I like to get things done. I feel like if I put my mind to something and I work hard at it, I can do it. And breastfeeding was not like that for me. It was really mentally challenging. I wouldn't even say physically challenging, because that wasn't anywhere near the mental challenge that I had of not being able to do it in the way that I wanted to.
Yeah. This sounds like a weird question when I ask it, but I'm interested to know the answer. What didn't surprise you about motherhood? What was as you expected it to be?
Probably the sleep the second time around. As in, the first time around, everyone was like, oh, you know, sleep while you can now. I'm like, mate, I'm getting
up to weed. You're never going to sleep again.
Literally 20 times. Like, surely it has to be better than this. I would say it surprised me actually, because I peed so many times during the night in the last trimester that actually when I had a newborn, I was up less with Sienna. So Sienna slept and I was like, wow, like it isn't that bad. Like, what's everyone talking about? Then I had Zave and I was like, whoa. Like, I remember having people come to my house that I can't actually remember engaging with. And all I can think of upon reflection in my mind, as soon as they entered the house, all I could think about was, when are you going to leave?
Yeah.
Like, will you leave soon? Like, yeah. I just wanted to tie up the conversation. Thanks for dropping by. See ya.
Did you ever tell people when to leave nicely, or were you just never did that?
No, I never did that because yeah. I was actually so sleep deprived. I feel like my mind was almost in a state of like delirium.
Yeah. So, Lozzie, I'm going to ask you three more things and then we'll run through the answers from everyone else. Physically, was the first 3 months of motherhood more or less challenging for you? So when you think about your body recovery or the physical traits?
First time around, more. In different ways, actually. First time around, the first 6 weeks was harder because I honestly felt like I had a bowling ball attached to my vagina, which I didn't expect to feel. And I remember like getting discharged from the hospital and all I wanted to do was like whip my tit out and like feed my baby like at a cafe or something. I just couldn't do it. And I also couldn't even walk to the end of my street. And I was like, what the fuck? Like,
I'm meant to be on mat leave having coffees. What is going on here?
Yes. For anyone that knew me while I was pregnant, though, like I was walking marathons. I was walking the day before I gave birth, like 25 kilometers. It was COVID. I had nothing to do. Okay. Yes, I was only meant to work. What is it? An hour
a day
outside.
Your radius.
Within my radius. Just took a bit longer. Yeah. But I think with Zave, I felt a lot better recovery-wise, I think because I knew what to expect and I knew what products to buy to kind of help me feel at my best. But the second time around, your body physically changes a lot. Like I bounced back, I would say, which I'm not proud to say, but I think I did with CN. I felt very similar to my old body self. But with Zave, my body really changed. Everything changed. And I found that mentally a little bit more difficult to grapple.
And what about the first 3 months emotionally, more or less challenging than you anticipated?
Oh, this is a tough one. Less in some ways because I think I'd heard all of these stories about how difficult it was going to be. And I just didn't feel that connection. Like it wasn't an exciting, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. But wouldn't that have made it more emotionally challenging? No.
I think Michelle said something in her little Instagram post that kind of said like she felt like she tapped out a little bit.
Yeah.
And
So
I
sort of
really
like,
felt that.
Yeah. You almost weren't there partly during that time in the early days.
I have to say this. I felt bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt bored and unfulfilled. Yeah.
So your emotions weren't too high or too low. It was just sort of like, let's just sort of get through this period.
Yeah. And I also think I had a lot of adrenaline, a lot of visitors, a lot of things happening. But I think it came to that like 12-week mark and I thought, fuck, this is permanent and this is my life now. Like it just, I don't even know how to describe it. Like I want to say I was like so excited and so happy. And I was like, I loved mat leave. Like second time around particularly, I absolutely thrived. Like I knew what to expect. I enjoyed it. I didn't love the first 12 weeks again, but I was more.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's
into
funny
it.
Saying you don't love the first 12 weeks makes it sound like you hate it, but it's not that, is it? It's hard to articulate because it's not necessarily, I mean, some people do really hate it, but it's not in your experience. I might be putting words in your mouth. It's not a black or white thing. There's so much gray in that first postpartum period.
Yeah. And I think it depends what your personality is like and what things like motivate you. Excite you, fill your cup. Like for me, a sleeping newborn doesn't do that. Like I want a little kid that giggles or that rolls or that turns or starts to crawl or move. Like that's when she gets more exciting for me.
Whereas
when
for me, I there, look at a I'm newborn like, and I'm like,
oh, you love it.
No, like give me 5,000, but don't give me 5,000 6 months olds.
See? Yeah. We're different in that way.
One more for you before I take it to the streets, take it to the polls. What do you wish you knew more about if you could go back when you're pregnant with Sienna? What do you wish you knew more about the first 3 months?
Breastfeeding with Sienna, for sure. And with Zave, I would say pelvic floor.
Yeah, great one. Gee, you're speaking straight to the masses in these polls. Let's go to it. Let's go to the community.
Yeah, yes.
All right. This was a hot one, Lozzie. This was hot and heavy. The pollers were hot and heavy on this topic. And it's not surprising given the topic and given how much people loved Michelle's post. So firstly, guess this one, Lozzie. Physically, was the first 3 months of motherhood more or less challenging than anticipated? Options are more, less, or about as expected.
More.
More is 68%. less is 16%, and about as expected is also 16%. So more the resounding favorite there. Emotionally, was the first 3 months of motherhood more or less challenging, again, than anticipated? More, less, or roughly as expected?
I think people would say more. Most people would say more, yeah, at like 70% or something.
Well done, 73%. She's good today. She's on fire. You're like Ray Gun. You are on fire.
Yeah.
Less was 13% and 14% was roughly as expected. So obviously the more negative feeling there is the most popular answer. So if that is you, you are so like in the masses. Most people feel that way. You are not alone. What surprised you about the first 3 months of motherhood was my next question. Here are some of my favorite answers. As you know, it's really hard for me to narrow these down. So I'm going to give you a bit of a top line because I counted and there was like nearly 100 responses on each of these questions. One that was a really good one and a really positive one to begin with is I was told to imagine early postpartum to be 100 times worse than I expected. So I did, which meant it was 100 times easier than I imagined. I imagined I'd never sleep, eat, drink, or shower, but I did. It wasn't like life was as it was in my maiden life, but I set myself up better when I was prepared. So that's something nice to start with. The other most common answers, I'm not even going to go through the rest of them, was that food is so important, onesies yeah, are not. I wish I prepared more for breastfeeding and thought more about what it might be to engage a lactation consultant or what I might go through, and that planning for your postpartum is so important. Someone else said babies wake up a lot, so learning about infant behavior is really important, yeah, which I didn't think or appreciate how important that is in our go-to guide. So that exists at the front of our postpartum and breastfeeding go-to guides. And it actually is really important to understand what a newborn does because it means that you're less stressed about moving through a day and a night with a newborn. So I think that's a really good answer. And someone else said, all the things that I bought and didn't need. Next was, what do you wish you knew more about or were better prepared for when it came to the first 3 months of motherhood? Unsurprisingly, this sort of dovetails into the same answers as last time. How hard breastfeeding is, struggled for 7 weeks before seeing a lactation consultant. The strain on partner relationship, which again, I've said a lot of times that even in a really robust and good relationship, it's so hard and it's quite surprising.
It can be.
The hormones, the dark thoughts from extremely little sleep, which is another really good one. I've definitely felt that this time with Posey, less so with Ray. Breastfeeding and birth education came up a million times. I was grateful I was so prepared for breastfeeding. The emotional and identity stuff, less so. That's another big one. What recovery would look like from a cesarean, and wish I booked in with an LC for the first week. We also go into recovery tips in the postpartum go-to guide. So I'm really glad that person brought it up because it is really important. And lastly here, which again relates to the postpartum guide, how to say what support looks like for me. That is so important to have a think yeah, about what support might look like for you. Next question. Number one thing you tell your pregnant best friend about the first 3 months of motherhood. Accept all the help that is offered. So hard to do. So fucking important. Watch people breastfeed and rest more than you think. Lie down. Someone else said, lie the fuck down, aka Naomi's mantra. So Naomi, who worked on the postpartum guide with us, you can be out in the world later. Nap. That person also said, lol. And I love that. Have nourishing food ready and available. And be prepared for the worst, but hope for the best. I think that's actually quite wise because I know it sounds grim, but basically it's having an understanding of what might happen in case it does. And if it doesn't, unbelievable.
I would almost say just get outside. If shit's hitting the fan or you're feeling super overwhelmed, fresh air, honestly, it sounds naff when I say it. It really helps. I'm not talking about like go for a power walk. Just get outside, open the door and just let that hair air hit your face.
Your very sweaty postpartum hairline potentially. Next one for you to guess. When did you begin to feel real joy and or ease in motherhood? So this is also based off what Michelle was talking about in the Instagram post.
6 months plus.
So instantly is the first option. After 3 months is the second. After 6 months is the third. Or it took longer / is taking longer for me.
after 6 months.
You're right, Lozzie, 36% there. I feel like everyone can feel a bit held by these stats because they're pretty evenly spread. So after 6 months is the winner at 36%. Instantly is 28%. After 3 months is 21%. And it took or is taking longer for me was 15%. So pretty even spill there. Did it feel too overwhelming to prepare much for postpartum when navigating pregnancy and the upcoming birth was already taking up space in your mind? Option one, yes. Option two, first time, yes. Second time, no. Option three, no. Yes, my friend.
Option two, 65%.
I was surprised by this. Option one was the winner. I had a feeling that we'd get the second time mum saying no with hindsight, but I guess maybe we have more first time mums. We need to find that out. So yes was 46%. First time yes, second time no was 27%. And no, it was 27%. So again, some pretty even numbers there. Last one here. Just to end on a positive note, because we are all scared of scaring pregnant women. We don't want to do it. Pregnant people, I should say. Looking back at the first 3 months, what are you most proud of? What are you most proud of when you look at the first 3 months of motherhood?
Oh, just getting by. Yeah. I would say I was really proud that I didn't have a nervous breakdown. I just felt like, I mean, I didn't have my shit together, but I felt like I sometimes wash my hair. I eat some good snacks. Like, it's just the little things for me. What about you?
I'm not even going to go through the answers because you've hit the nail on the head. Everyone's was pretty much, and there's about 50 answers there, a version of that I got through it. Yeah. Or that I leaned into rest, or that I did breastfeed, not necessarily talking about how long they did it for, but just that they gave it a crack and that they looked after themselves was the other one. But the majority of people said that I just got through it.
Seems like a good enough answer to me. I mean,
I agree.
Feels, girl. I'm still getting through it every day.
Amen. For anyone that is pregnant right now, don't be scared. Be prepared.
It's the
be
best.
Kind to yourself. It's the best. It's the best. And it might be peppered so with a good. Bit of the worst. But yeah, that's
such
okay.
Such is life, you know?
Such you know? Is life. Let's get it tattooed on our forehead.
So on that, that wraps up our show for today. If you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a positive review and follow us on readyornot.pod. We always love hearing any subjects that you want to learn about through tips and tricks or topics that you'd like for us to discuss or topics that you'd like for us to touch on during witching hour. And we hope that we'll see a few of you in Melbourne at our memo event on Thursday.
Yes, please buy a ticket, meet us there. We really genuinely want to meet you. I want to put a face to the name of the Instagram handles that I've come to know and love. Meet us there, see you there. And I'll definitely see you there, my friend.
See you there.